Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic book, movie, and video game news and reviews. And now your hosts, AJ and Martin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 107 of the Panelcast. This is AJ, and I'm here this week with
Martin
and
Vanessa.
And we are here outside of the theater awaiting the midnight showing of Killing Them Softly. Now, granted, it is not a comic book movie, but it has some comic book antics going on in it, and that's the excuse we're using to go see it at midnight. So in this week's episode, we're going to go over some of the news that came out since our last recording, as well as discuss some of the upcoming stuff we have going on with Forbidden Panel. And I have a tirade to go on about Image Comic Books and their flooding of the comic book market. All this and more after our first break.
Hey everybody, this is Lou Guevara, and I invite you to take a look at my stuff at ForbiddenPanel.com, and you can also hit me up on Facebook at RivetComics@Facebook.com, and you can take a look at my blog spot at RivetComics@Blogspot.com, and I hope to see you guys there.
And welcome back. First thing we're going to talk about is how Martin and Vanessa are both looking at me like, what the fuck, we haven't gotten ready yet. Well guys, I wanted to discuss something real quick. That being, last night was the first, what I hope to be, many LAN parties that we threw in celebration of Call of Duty Black Ops 2. We decided to open up Forbidden Panel's headquarters and let people come by with their PlayStation 3s and big screen TVs. Some bigger than others, some thicker than others, and I'm not being dirty this time. So Martin and I participated, as well as Jose, Soria, and Adam. Role of both of the ZKS cosplay units, and we gamed for 8 hours.
Yeah.
What did you think? Did you have fun?
It was really cool. It was a lot like, I mean, short of the logistics of a LAN party before, it was really cool to go and do that again and not carry a giant box TV into the room, and just the setup and the features we were able to utilize on Call of Duty, not only because we're a clan, but it's just how we had it set up was really awesome.
Yeah, the fact that we were able to, I was able to show a video on my screen, and it displayed on all four screens through different points of view. I thought that was a great, innovative tool that they incorporated in with the game. But just, you know, just all around gameplay, we just had a lot of fun last night. It was a real big throwback, like Martin said, to the old days. We'd just get together with computers and whatnot and just sit in a darkened room and play Quake or WoW or what have you.
Well, even when Xbox first came out, remember the first Xbox LAN parties, you still had those big box TVs. We hadn't gone over to the LED LCD screens, these flat panel TVs. So you were still bringing that whole console, the system, the plugs, the outlet, you know, and then you had to link them all up. It's different. It was an experience back then, so it was cool to bring that back now to do it with new today's technology.
Did you say nude?
No. But yeah, nude too. That would be fun. We should add that to the next one.
Okay, we'll do nude gaming.
I heard naked.
It adds a whole new viewpoint to joystick. And I don't think Vanessa and her friend will show up to this one.
Yeah.
I actually had a good time just randomly showing up and watching how excited you guys were. It was a flashback because I used to have friends that did the exact same thing, but everything had evolved. Nicer TVs, the systems, the graphics. It
looked like a very expensive party.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
If you look at the pictures, you know, all these flat panel TVs across the room, we had four PlayStation 3s in the room. You know, we looked like we were in a lavish gaming hub instead, you know, just a...
These TVs average about $200 a pop. The PS3 is $299 right now.
Yeah.
So that's $500 a person walking in plus the game. So you're looking at $2,000 alone. Not counting the cheap ass pizza we ordered and Pepsi's we were drinking.
Yeah, we went through almost a 12 pack of Pepsi, four or five of large Mountain Dews, non-stop cups of water and ice.
Four large pizzas.
Yeah, one of these days we might have to bring in some alcohol.
I don't know.
Maybe a Slurpee machine.
I don't know, I mean, your guys' games were suffering enough.
We might get better.
This isn't driving.
Yeah.
Okay. This is mass murder and you need to be sober for it. You get drunk afterwards, you know, feeling guilt. But
and in that sense, you know, the gaming itself, the game is really cool. So to be able to play this sort of game in this setting is fun as well. You know, you're in there playing people from across the world. Even we don't, you know, there was guys in there that were speaking foreign languages. We muted them, of course, because they were annoying. But it's cool that, you know, you're not just playing with your friends, too. You're playing other people.
Right.
And we get to play together. At one point in time, I think you were chasing Jose because he got on the other team. You know, it was something cool to do.
I always felt bad because, you know, there's six-man teams and there were only four of us. So, you know, the two unfortunate souls that jumped on the game with us to play, well, you know, let's just say that some of our players aren't the best players out there. And so we didn't exactly win every game. So the two random people that were forced to be on our team, you know, had to suffer losses. But hopefully they had fun as well. Now, Vanessa, again, you said you enjoyed coming in. What was your view as an outsider, as someone not playing the game?
I was still hanging out. You guys weren't just like zoned in into the game. I was still talking to all of you, and everyone was hanging out. And
which was evidenced by our game score.
Yeah, that part.
Yeah, you guys were dying and whatnot a lot. But I mean, it was all around fun. It wasn't just, you know, you guys doing your thing and, you know, my friend and I doing our own. We felt like we were part of it. Pizza, drinks, hung out. It was cool.
And what brought you out there?
Honestly, I had to see it in person. Martin sent me a picture, and I was like, no fucking way. I was like, that was like a spaceship. I gotta see this firsthand. So I went to go see it for myself, and goddamn, you guys were doing it. So.
Were you impressed or afraid, turned off,
turned on, but there was no nudity. I was promised that. And
well, you were promised that you were going to be naked.
Oh, that's what it was?
See, we were trying to reenact that episode of Big Bang Theory, where they were all playing games, and the hot chicks come in and go, hey, guys, you missed this, and they ignore
it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that part.
No. Well, that's why you're not invited to the next one.
I had a couple drinks before I showed up. This is like I did this sober. Yeah, let's go check this out. No.
Oh, she still kept her clothes on.
Right.
You weren't doing it right.
And obviously, we didn't leave enough dollar bill. We spent all our money on the pizza.
Oh, the pizza, yeah.
So
the
nice.
Cheap pizza we spent all our money on.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Which was an ordeal in itself.
Right, yes, it was.
Just to show like how further along in age and technology we were, none of us had cash.
Right.
So we all had to chip in via PayPal to order the pizzas. Back in the day, it was, you know, scrunching up for quarters and pennies and whatnot in the couch and you know, trying to get some food going, drinking a lot of Jolt. Last night was cyber paying and cyber donating in order to purchase pizza. So
we do need to get some Jolt for next time, too.
Yeah.
We're going to track some of that down.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So all in all, we spent a wonderful night, 8 hours playing Call of Duty Black Ops 2. I think the overall opinion of it was that we all enjoy the game. And especially enjoyed playing it all in the same room, as opposed to just, you know, miking it through each other's living rooms. Some of us wore house clothes.
Yeah.
we had a member that showed up in sweats and fuzzy slippers. I had to give it up for him.
So whatever you get comfy in, right?
Right. And I was actually jealous. I should have done the same, considering that was, you know, 2-minute walk from my place. So yeah, we'll be doing this once a month. If you guys are interested, just keep checking out forbiddenpanel.com, and we will keep it updated as far as when our next events are. We always try to do something on a regular basis just to keep things interesting and a lot of fun, and to involve our fans and even those that aren't our fans that try to hijack our stuff. Anyway, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, Martin and I will be talking about the news.
Hi, this is Brandy Ossett, Reiki Master Teacher and High Priestess, and also author of The Goddess Guide. Please visit my website at brandyoffset.com for information on all things spiritual and mythological.
We have what?
Welcome back, everybody. As I interrupt Martin in his dirty, weird Clark Gable, John Waters mustache talking.
I forget which one was the insult and which one was the compliment.
All of the above, baby.
Oh, okay.
All of the above. Yeah, we're actually growing out our facial hair for the month of Movember.
Woo!
I've got a creepy beard and he has a creepy mustache and Vanessa has creepy hair on her legs. And
excuse me, no, I don't. Thanks.
Sorry, I was trying to avoid the beard.
At least say the beard. That's like they know that's not real.
But where the beard was located, I was avoiding the talk.
Oh,
I am out of here. Door slam.
Our sound effects. Our
sound
effects.
Yeah. We're real broke this month.
Yeah.
Door slam.
So there's comic book news out there in the world.
Take it.
Yeah. Well, it was another...
Take it to the bridge, Martin.
It was another wonderful week in Marvel Now. They actually brought out last week 4 books, including Indestructible Hulk, Captain America, Deadpool came out the week before that. We had 4. We have new FF Future Foundation out this week with She-Hulk on the team now, and they just keep bringing out new books every week, and they're not getting better. I don't know about you. Indestructible Hulk, you were saying, you read that one. I haven't gotten to read it yet.
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, it's Mark Waid, Indestructible, Irredeemable, all that other ears names that begin with I's. But I thought Indestructible Hulk was awesome. It even explains the armor at the end. So, like, you know, I'm really getting into it.
And that had sellouts at shops. I mean, our local comic book store, Fort Tennessee,
well,
I went by there. And they
Yu, I think that's his name, is the artist on it. And I think he's probably one of the best Hulk artists out there. And the story, again, it's Mark Waid. You know, he's evil. So, and it's his, one of his bigger ventures into Marvel. He's normally with Boom Studios, so
yeah,
it's cool to see that. Especially like considering I've signed sitting next to him, so but yeah, so that was good. And then Captain America came out, and Captain America was kind of a jumble. Like, it was, I read that and it was really good in some aspects, and some aspects it was like, what? It felt rushed.
I didn't feel rushed, I couldn't get into the story, and maybe it is because it was jumbled and it didn't feel like it pieced together right. To me, it just didn't feel like the new Captain America they're trying to promote with the movies and the, you know, in Hollywood they want to make him this Boy Scout, this character that you can come around and like, and the kids get really excited about him, parents are getting really excited about him, old fans got really excited about it, but it just seems like they're trying to reach people who don't want to be excited about the character.
I think they're just busy in the movies trying to convince people that Chris Evans is not the big dork that we normally see him as.
Yeah.
So maybe he overacts it into that manner. But yeah, this story, I mean, it's taking you into another dimension at the end, and the journey there is just confusing and annoying. So, I mean, I'm interested to see where it goes, but I stopped reading Captain America a long time ago because it's too convoluted and too just layered upon layered, and it just, you know, got annoying after a while, trying to go back and forth, and the art really got really crappy on it too, so.
Well, so this Marvel Now thing is about getting people back who left. We have 3 X-Men books, 2 Uncanny titles, Amazing Spider-Man is ending next month, and we still don't have an official new Spider-Man yet. We have 3-4 Wolverine books, 6 if you include his Avengers roles. You know, and then they announced Extermination last week, which is coming out next spring, with a cover that showed him and Nightcrawler fighting. So it's going to be X-Men versus X-Men, which
and
we just
they
saw.
They haven't explained why Daken is back yet either.
Yeah.
I mean, I know why, because he's in hell again, but because if you notice, every character that's on the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants is dead. Spoiler. But, I mean, they need to, like, get into that at some point in time. That's annoying. But Uncanny Avengers number 2 came out this week, which will either redeem or continue on the sloppiness of the first one.
I'll let you read that first.
I don't think I have a choice in that matter.
Yeah.
I gotta find out. But yeah, the Marvel Now thing just...
It still seems to be leaving a bad taste in people's mouths, and all they seem to do is add more books every week or every other week. We get 4 more titles.
They're trying to bring new readers in and whatnot, but honestly at this point, do you think that people don't know who you are? That there are a thing called comic books? I mean, it's fucking mainstream nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when, you know, they were struggling and went bankrupt and all that stuff, it, because comic books were seen as kiddie books, as immature playthings, you know, but nowadays it's so mainstream. You can't fucking go anywhere without seeing a comic book character somewhere. Especially with, you know, the fact that they're owned by Disney now. And so it's super mainstream. So what's the point of trying to gain new readers when they're coming to you naturally? Thanks to the movies and the TV shows and everything else that's out there. DC, Marvel, Image, all those guys are getting new readers on a daily basis. So having a relaunch is really just ridiculous. It's redundant.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, we've talked about this previously in other episodes, it's kind of like they jumped on the back of DC Comics, who did the relaunch last year. So Marvel's doing it this year. And DC did it with 52 books originally, and has then gone on to add a dozen or so other books as they canceled books. Marvel seems to be getting up there. I mean, we have a Wolverine coming out in January. We've got this Extermination book. They've teased a new Wolverine book to come out in March as well. You know, we're going to keep getting more. I'm waiting for a Daredevil book to be announced.
And what's really sad, Daredevil's already out. What's really sad is that the ending of AVX wasn't really that iconic to demand such a relaunch in this manner. I mean, unlike Infinite Crisis and Crisis on Infinite Earths and all that other crap, where, you know, planets were destroyed, you know, and timelines were destroyed that needed and caused to have a reboot in such a manner. All this did was have a phoenix come out, fix the world, and then have him incarcerated. I mean, it's really...
And the only character that that took any grunt of it was Cyclops, who's coming back, and he's going to be a part of this new X-Men team comic book they've got coming out next year, but they're not going to do much else. There was no other effect.
Yeah, we're reading this. That's so awesome. I'm sorry, there's a couple of people walking out of the theater dressed as Starfleet officers. That's kind of cool.
Yes, it is.
For no reason whatsoever. And it's a couple. An older couple, that's cool. I lost my train of thought. Anyway, what's he going to do? It's going to be an entire series of him either A, atoning for his sins, or B, recruiting for another mutiny.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
With different X-Men teams already in existence, and now we've announced this X-Termination book for next spring, you know, it sounds like they're going to have a war with X-Men, with the mutants. The mutants are going to have another war, yet another war. And so why are we going to go back to that again?
But actually, honestly, if you look at the X-Termination books, it's going back to the Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
So it's going back into that. Now, there's another Age of Apocalypse number one coming out to go along with the ongoing series that's happening now. And that's what Extermination is about. So it's not even, again, they're not even having the balls to come back to the timeline of reality that we know. They're going on another one. So if they fuck that up, it's okay. They still have this one going.
Yeah.
You know, it's like DC. Earth 616 is cool. You know, we can fuck up all the other Earths, but 616 is okay. It's our fallback, you know, and that's in Marvel. So obviously they realize their mistake with AVX and are trying to just go outside of other timelines, other realities and whatnot, so as not to cause any drama with the mainstream. And they can't do that with Ultimate Universe anymore because it's such a big, big staple out there that they have to create another one. So, yeah, Marvel's stupid. It should be called Marvel Dumb.
Well, to go from Marvel and comics, jump over in the news. Marvel's in the news for movies.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there were huge announcements this week. We've talked a little bit about they're going to have this Days of Future Past sequel to the X-Men First Class
Brian
movie.
Bryan Singer's getting the band back together.
And Bryan Singer has taken over as director. Matthew Vaughn stepped out, possibly for Star Wars. Gee, Disney-Marvel team up.
No possibility. He agreed to it today.
And they're bringing back, like you said, the team members. You want to expand on that a little bit?
They're bringing back Professor X and Magneto already. They've already been recast. There are talks going out to the girl we all hate, fucking who played Storm.
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry is already reaching out to talk to her. And Hugh Jackman right now is in negotiations to come back as Wolverine for it. Now, he did a cameo in the first one, which was probably the best part of the entire fucking movie. Not that the movie's bad. I like the movie, but that part just...
It was hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, and... it was probably the one time he's actually been Wolverine.
Yeah.
Any Wolverine movie he's ever done, that one part alone was him actually as Wolverine. So there are negotiations to have him come back for the X-Men Days of Future Past, which is one of the biggest and the most influential comic story arcs that have been out there ever. Because of that, it reshaped how mutants were seen from that point on. Because before, they were just seen as, you know, outcasts or what have you. This made them akin to Jews and blacks and Asians and all that, and that they were put in concentration camps and killed and whatnot. So people were coming from the past, from the future into the past to rectify that situation. It caused the creation of the Sentinels, of Nimrod, of Bishop, of the Hellfire Club, of Phoenix. All that stuff spawned from this one storyline. So its impact in comic books is... monumental. So the fact that they're tackling it as a movie is going to be, I don't know, ballsy for them. We'll see how it turns out. There.
And to bring back, I mean, to have young Magneto, young Professor X, and then the older Magneto, the older Professor X, and to bring back the original characters we've already seen on screen for this,
right,
is a huge endeavor. I don't think it's as big as something as doing the Avengers, Marvel Phase 1, that sort of thing, but it is a big move for them.
Right.
And it's the second in a trilogy that they're hoping to put out.
And I also forgot that Days of Future Past is one of the reasons why we have both Cable and Deadpool.
Right.
So yeah, they gotta like completely not fuck that up.
Yeah, and you know, we saw this Deadpool movie in the fringes. It's been rumored for years and years. So maybe this is a piece to sidestep off and make a spinoff movie with Deadpool in it, if they're gonna try and correct that character.
Honestly, I think at this point, with their track record and everything that they've done in the past, it's going to cause more Marvel nows because it's going to be so bad, they're going to have to think of another way to get readers to come back to Marvel. I think, honestly, that's what's going to happen. Bryan Singer, I mean, I give him credit. He did what he could with what he had, but those X-Men movies we enjoyed because it was the first time we saw them in live action. But in all actuality, if you go back and you watch them now, they're pieces of shit. They're horrible fucking movies. Acting, special effects, the whole nine, they're just bad movies. So bringing them back, I think, is all you're doing is saying, hey, well, you know the characters, you can figure something out, go. You know, but, and honestly, how good do you think it's going to be? It's really not going to be all that great.
Well, and the confusion I have about it is we've seen the Wolverine movie where Patrick Stewart was Professor X at the end, and that the timeline for that. But we're going to be bringing Wolverine into futures past. We're going to be Wolverine into first day or first class, things like that. You know, it's a lot of crisscrossing across all of these movies that involve these characters, and for Fox to be doing this, it just seems like it's a reach to put as many people in a movie as they can.
It's a real good reach. I mean, even the Wolverine movie that's going on right now, they're going to his Japan storyline, which is a more, I would say, more subdued storyline because it's where he learns how to become honorable and control the animal within him. The animal of which we have yet to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw him for, what, 2 minutes in the second X-Men movie? So how... It makes no sense to bring that storyline about. It seems like a cop-out for them, because now they can go to characters that aren't really well-known and introduce them without causing any damage. Silver Samurai, Yukio, Mariko, stuff like that. You know, again, characters that aren't really well-known, so they can't really do too much damage to them. You know? So it seems like a cop-out. So I don't know how they're going to do Days of Futures Past. That's a big undertaking. That's a lot. And you're addressing a lot of issues that are going to strike home, not just for comic book readers, but for Holocaust survivors and all and stuff like that, you know? I mean, we even touched a little bit on that with the X-Men movies with Magneto and stuff, and that still brought on an outcry from survivors and whatnot, so...
Well, and that's the news that's coming from the Fox camp, and they're not associated with the Disney side of Marvel and Hollywood and things like that right now. They own the rights. They have the X-Men rights. They're doing that thing. So they're still separate from this whole Avengers thing, too, and the link there.
Which is kind of ridiculous in itself, because I'd love to see an X-Men Avengers tie-in at some point, you know?
You really want that Avengers versus X-Men movie, don't you?
I don't want to say that so much. I just want to see something.
Yeah.
I want to see them throw down at some point or team up or something going on.
You want to be able to see that conversation
between... I want to see Cyclops and Captain America and see if they have issues on screen.
Right. And it would be very interesting to see that crossover maybe one day, and when and if rights are ever able to revert back. So that's what I have for news. We'll go to a break real quick, and we'll come back with more.
Hi, this is Justin White of Necrosapien Press and artist of ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad, and you should come check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all your latest geek needs.
All right, and welcome back. All right, so real quick, we had a chance to sit down with the runner-up for the Zombie Beauty Pageant in 2012, Empire Zombie Beauty Pageant. That was that happened just last month. And we sat down with Pauline Velarde, whose character of Abigail White came in second place during the event. And so let's go ahead and toss that over there, and we'll be right back. Hey everybody, this is AJ, and I'm here with the runner-up to the Zombie Beauty Pageant of 2012, Miss Pauline. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Don't get all quiet. You were just all talky 5 seconds ago. The reason I brought this damn thing out because she started talking. Been around Pauline for a couple years now, every now and then, and this is the most I've heard her say. So you got, I'm getting in close. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
She's all blushy now. Let me ask you, what got you, this is your second year being in the beauty pageant, right?
Yes.
You can speak louder, it's okay. They can't see you on the microphone.
Okay. Oh my God, sorry.
Second year doing the beauty pageant, yes?
Yes.
What made you do it the first time, and what made you come out for the second time?
Okay, the first year, my friend actually was doing it, and she didn't want to
Nicole, right?
Yeah, she didn't want to do it alone. And I didn't even know anything about this, and she told me everything and said we could just do it for fun, you know, just have bonding time. And she ended up getting kicked out of it due to her parents, and I tried making her proud, so I'm like, okay, I'll try winning this, you know, because we saw the prizes, like Comic-Con and stuff like that. We're like, oh, we'll still go together, because I can never afford going with her. It's like, okay, we're going to do it, and I ended up loving it. And next, like, the year after that, the second year, I was preparing, like, the day after, making character development, but I kind of did too much character development and everything else. Like, next year, I was just doing it to impress my family, and that's because we all love horror movies and zombies. Well, just my little group, like my brothers and my grandmother. So
you do this for other people, not for yourself?
I like doing it just because, like, that's the only time of year I think I have the most self-confidence, even though I look nothing like myself and I'm covered in blood and guts and my mate is all destroyed. But the crowd reactions and putting all the work into the zombie character itself, and my friend putting all her work into the makeup and everything, pretty much all worth it.
So you do have fun?
Yes, it's very fun. Just very tiring and stressful right to the event, and afterwards you miss it and you're like, oh, next year.
So you've, unfortunately you've lost both years. How does that, like knock you down a peg? Does that make you feel like, you know, fuck this? What do you think?
Oh my gosh. last year, I was all right. Like, at first I get really sad, because no one wants to get shot down, literally on stage, with guns actually pointing to you. I literally got shot down in front of all these people. It's like the worst scenario, like outside of the event. But it inspires me to go even more crazier the next year. As I said, like the day after, the very first time we did it, we're like, okay, we're going to be even grosser next year. We're going to have things even more creepier. We're going to do a bunch of this stuff. And this year, we did the exact same thing. A little, I was like, fuck this, because this time I put all my money into it. And I was like, oh, man, like, I got nothing out of this. So cool pictures. But afterwards, it's just, I have good memories with my friends, so it's worth it. And my grandma's all, you won deep down. You won. But whatever works. So next, it's pretty much just, I got to try harder next year. I'm going to do it harder next year, just so they know.
So you're determined, yeah. No matter what, you're going to be coming back next year.
At one point, if this continues on, I'm going to at least try wearing the crown once. That's what my goal is, just one year.
Just once.
Yeah, just
Why
one.
Why don't you just mug Jasmine in the back, take the crown, and just run off?
Because I want to earn it.
Wouldn't that be earning it, though?
You're like, no.
You took the bitch out. You took grab her crown and just run.
No, I don't like that. I'll win it through, like, Whatever the crowd, pretty much, I want the crowd to choose. I want the crowd to be actually proud. I'm like, yes, this is the person, like, we've been wanting this person to win, or the zombie finally won, so I need to impress them, pretty much. I'm trying to win them over. That's what the whole...
Well, I don't know if this will make you feel any better, but, so after last year, you had entered, and, you know, we'd seen you around, and you'd been really, just really awesome about participating and helping out. You showed up at the Comic Expo as your character again.
Yeah.
And we saw you at WonderCon and talked to you then, and everything else. So secretly, we were all pulling for you.
Okay, that's cool.
So if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, like, that's cool.
So we were like,
hopefully next year.
But, you know,
I like that more.
Right.
I'll get more gruesome. That's what I'm saying. Like, it just makes me more, like, it's going to be more movie-like. That's what we're hoping for. Like, first year, like, okay, this is kind of cool. But, like, next year, it would be so cheesy. This year, we'll do it that. Add a little cheesiness to it. Next year, like, we combine a bunch of our favorite movies into one, video games and stuff. So hopefully next year, like, with all this new stuff coming out, and I'm trying to bring some old vintage stuff back together, next year's going to be really cool.
So you say you're doing movie vintage stuff. What was it this year?
This year was more video games, because I was trying to impress my brother who didn't come.
Impressing somebody that wasn't there.
who ditched me for The Walking Dead. So next year I'll do that. But this year, I was going off of not the Resident Evil movies. I don't mind people who like the Resident Evil movies.
Right.
I kind of...
They're not zombies.
It's more of the whole infection thing. I don't know. I kind of like the different ideas put together.
Right.
But Resident Evil... The vintage old Resident Evil movies on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ones with pixels were bad.
Right.
But that's the one that scared us when we were kids.
Like, Zero and One and all that stuff, yeah.
All that. Like, I was going for the Crimson Heads from Resident Evil. Pretty much how they develop more animal-like.
Right.
So that's why the whole claw thing comes into effect. The witch from Left 4 Dead, even though, like, it didn't really have development in the game, but I just like the character in general because she's the only female zombie. So you don't see a lot of female
Isn't
zombies.
Isn't she kind of a psycho, too?
Yeah, she cries. Like, I think she kind of knows that she's, like, really fucked up.
Right.
She can't do anything about it, but I think, like, at least when you see the trailers and stuff for her and you actually play it, she has the most human qualities to her. Like, she still has some sanity left. Not like she's insane, but she still knows.
Right.
Anyway.
She's kind of sitting in her head.
Yeah. And I actually, one of my favorite movies was 13 Ghosts. Even though it's kind of cheesy, I like the whole idea of the background ghost.
Right.
And they're not zombies, but my favorite character from that was really messed up was the Angry Princess. That's like the naked chick with the knife.
Yes.
But I liked her whole, like, plain effect, how she just had, like, pretty, I don't know what it was about it, but I liked that, and I tried to bring that into the character with a little bit of the Silent Hill, even though she's not a zombie either.
Right.
I don't think, more of a ghost thing, but the whole, people like that, even though you can't see her face and everything, but people find her frightening.
Right.
So I thought, if I cover my face in that, it'll give a little more emphasis on... It's not
yeah,
how...
Because your first costume looked like one of the nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really ballsy of you, honestly, because, I mean, you know, a lot of people, they like the nurses because they're hot.
Yeah, they're...
You know,
but
one of the things that we've always talked about on the show is that it's very hard to act when you can't make eye contact with the audience and whatnot.
So I tried doing the exact opposite of that.
Right, so you, and here you are bandaged all up, can't even see anything.
I literally can't see.
Asking for people to help you up the stairs, and...
I broke my toe. I broke my toe, like, during the talent, because we had to put holes. The first time during the thing, I can barely see. I was remembering your wife going, scarier, bigger, and I'm like, they can't see me, so it's all right. And, during the talent, we had to put more holes in my eyes, because I'm going to be jumping up and down.
Right.
So, we put a little more, but we tried making sure that no one can actually see my face still, because there was no makeup underneath that. And walking down, I didn't see one of the things, and I slammed my foot onto, like, one of the stairs, and I didn't notice until we go back and we're touching up for the formal, and I look in. The blood looks a little different on my foot. And I look at it, and I'm like, doing this, and I can't flex it, and I'm like, oh my god, that's my blood. And I'm like, okay, that effect is alright. I'm like, at least I'll win. And we had to put on high heels. I never wear high heels.
I could tell.
The only time I wear dresses is after this event, which is kind of weird, since it's like the exact opposite of like formal. So that was a very hard night. The rest of the night walking, at least, and I was going to walk from here to Danny's from like the event. I'm like, no, we'll drive. I'm not fucking walking anymore. I'm good.
I'm done.
I did enough to myself this week.
Now, you had one of the most inventive talents, and that was you were jump roping your intestines.
Yeah.
How did that idea come about?
Well, originally I was going to do hula hooping. You know that, like, with, I was going to have a very hot chick for, like, all the dudes out there who just, you know, do that hula hooping perfectly. I don't have talents besides drawing. Like, the first year that dance we did was pretty much improv. We didn't know what we were doing. We hoped no one outside saw that, unless you saw us at practice. Like, we kind of did the night before, but that was the only night we practiced.
Right.
And we were thinking, okay, zombies can't dance anyway, so they shouldn't be expecting, like, Dancing with the Stars back and stuff. This year was kind of improv, too, because we were trying to find a hula hoop. We couldn't, for some reason, none of us had hula hoops, and I couldn't find anyone who wanted to just be around zombies, who weren't into zombies but looked nice enough for the crowd. So I decided to go through that, and I was thinking something stupid, like something like cartoony, like how about just like jump roping or something I can easily do, and like, but how about we just rip it open and it's my guts and that. And my friend's like, that's an awesome idea, why don't you do that? I'm like, I thought it'd be a stupid idea. And like, they ended up loving that idea. And we put this together, like made the whole pouch and everything. Like, the song is what she liked the most, which is the most creepiest like artist that we like. And she thought that wouldn't like just add up to it. I was like, maybe to this, because it was just in my head thinking at night. I was just like on Netflix watching horror movies and stuff. And we put all that together, and that's how that one was made. But we didn't practice jumping with the jump rope. Everything you saw on that stage was improv. I didn't know what to do. I was thinking maybe I should have it like a scarf, and it was all coming in my head. So I'm like, I don't know, and I couldn't see. So I think all that together added that. It was just, honestly, we didn't know what we were doing, but we hoped you guys liked it. And afterwards, we were like, the pictures came out awesome, so it was worth it.
Yeah, no, but honestly, like, I had thought about that for a talent, like, before the first one. I was like, someone should jump rope their intestines, that'd be awesome. And then, like, you did it, I was like, you bitch. You straight up dug in my head. Awesome.
I didn't know. I was like, that's cool. I was scared and I was afraid, like, some of my ideas were, like, the jump roping or this, like, someone else gonna be even more, gonna do that and top it. And I'm like, I gotta think of something no one can possibly, like, think of last minute or be doing, or something you could buy at a Halloween store, even though I think you actually Japan, but I'm not sure if it's like the best stuff.
Intestinal jump rope?
Yeah. No, not that. I mean, a jump rope. I don't know. Something like that, but yeah.
Well, originally, you had come up to me with the idea of performing.
Yeah. Singing. Because my character, if you notice in the bio, was a performer. And my boyfriend's band in that, because I've been wanting to make my own little indie-ish group. So I was thinking maybe I can try practicing at an event here. If I mess up, they should assume zombies can't sing well.
Right.
Zombies shouldn't even be singing. But the whole element of bringing my character, because I did a lot of character development a couple months, so I could put more detail into that. The whole back thing is making fun of the fact that I don't have a really good back as it is.
Right.
That was just a joke added along. So we were thinking of doing a really creepy, cool cover of that. But I think, honestly, last-minute ideas are kind of a little better. There's actual fear put into it because you're afraid of what they're going to do.
Well, it kind of goes with the moment. I mean, we're watching zombies jump rope. You know, so if you can't figure out what to do, well, neither would a zombie.
Exactly. So I hope people were like, oh, she's a really good actor.
A lot of people were, I think that's what helped you.
The actual nervous and blindness. This is all real. This was really awful.
You're like, I'm really like this in real life.
I honestly do that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I honestly can't see when I had my claws out, or for the most part. I had to look down. So I was looking at my people. I was doing something your wife told me not to do on accident because I couldn't see. But,
so
yeah.
Stop, like, I can't see anywhere else.
Yeah, I can't. And the lights were bright, and I was like, oh, God, this is going to be horrible.
That's why one of the things I had, we were talking earlier, I said I was agoraphobic. So, like, I get on stage to do the intro, and I know you guys can see, you were back there, but I was like, hi.
Oh, shit, there's a bunch of people in front of me.
Right, and even the lights that were shining on me were kind of like, blurring everybody.
People are taking pictures.
Right, and that's why all the flashes happened. People were clapping. I'm like,
the newspaper's here.
I'm gonna go enjoy the show. I don't know what I was up here to say. Bye.
Just leave. Go home, guys. Show's over.
Thanks for your money. See you.
I lied. We were actually joking in the back with my friends because we thought we were gonna do a horrible job with, like, how I can't see anything. Like, AJ at one point is gonna be like, you know what, Pauline, go home. She ruined the show. Goodbye, everybody. You can thank her for ruining the show. Go home.
Thanks, Pauline.
No refunds. Get
Thanks.
Out. Pauline, get the fuck out. Go home. Honestly, like, the whole time we're joking, like, he's going to stay at that watch. Like, Pauline, just go home. Go home. And the whole night we were like, hey,
So the time I asked you if you were having fun, you probably thought, ah, shit, here it comes.
Okay. Pauline? Don't even get on stage. Just go home.
No. Don't get undressed. Don't change.
There's an actual gun right here. So, yeah, we were just joking about that. But I actually turned it up close.
One question I've been wanting to ask everybody, but I haven't had a chance to. When you get shot and you're laying on stage, what are you thinking?
I didn't try hard enough. I wasn't good enough.
So you're laying
it's
on the ground in
the
disappointment?
Yes. Laying in instead of blood, it's just disappointment and failure. Rejection. It's
really?
Horrible. Yeah. Because, like, you hear the music, you hear Dave singing, you see, like, the shadow of them waving, and, like, the people crowding, and you're like, that could have been me. Gotta try harder. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And that's when I dress. I'm like, everyone's looking at my crotch right now. My grandma's, like, probably at the worst, like, position of, like, the seating, and is just viewing, like, the money shot. And I'm like, oh God.
I'm like,
why wasn't I wearing shorts? I'm like, all this is happening, and I'm like, oh God. And I'm gonna cry. No, I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry. I might cry later. I didn't cry. I'm like, kind of like, oh, kind of like, stop. And, like, the song kept coming on, and, like, everyone gets back up, and I'm like, okay, I feel better. It was just the actual gun to your head. If you notice, I actually went like this. Please, shoot me. I'm done. It sucks. I'm like, and it was just in the moment, sadness with red flag.
And was it like that the first year?
Actually, like, I didn't think I was gonna, like, even, like, last year I didn't think, this year I think it's gonna place. Last year, like, I was like, man, it's gonna be really cool, I'm probably gonna win, I love comics. I was more of a noob, and I didn't, like, everyone's makeup was, like, all impressed, and I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I just look like someone just did this to my jaw, and I dipped it in mud, and I was like, oh, okay, and, like, Rosie impressed me a lot, and I was like, man, next year, like, I gotta do that, she's cool, I love this person, like, really into character, like, people
right.
were actually frightened to be near her, and I'm just over here hugging little children and stuff, and I'm like, this isn't realistic at all, so I didn't think I was gonna place, like, this year I wasn't going to place, but I thought, like, people might like the makeup more. So when my name even got called up, I was like, oh, crap, I actually have a chance this year. I'm like, do they really say that? Like, I was going to stand there like, what? Wait, what?
You're like, oh.
Because I didn't have anyone. Like, I didn't have, like, I'm not a model. I, like, don't work out. I don't really have friends. I don't go out. Like, I am not really anything. Like, I'm really, like, antisocial by choice.
You're an introvert?
Yeah. I don't have money to go out. Like, I lost one of my best friends because I was too poor to hang out with her. Yeah, weird stuff. So.
That's not a best friend.
Yeah, I got that money. Anyway, but, like, pretty much like that. And my own brother didn't come because of The Walking Dead, so I didn't even think I was going to place. And, like, my boyfriend brought, like, two of his friends, like, a couple of my friends, my makeup artist, my grandmother. And that's it. Like, I invited people from my college, like, announced it. But other than that, like, I was like, there's no way in hell. People have their whole family here.
Right.
People have, like, their coworkers and stuff here. And I'm like, I have my group, and I love them for coming. Like, especially, like, it's fun seeing them, like, walking by when you walk down to do your makeup again. They're, like, cheering your name, and that's, like, awesome. So the fact that I even got called up there, I was like, who the hell did I impress?
Who voted for me?
Yeah, like, who voted for me? What the heck? And, like, what did I do? I was like, cool. So, like, that really was awesome, getting my name called up, and I was like, shit, I might win, cool, I might get something cool out of this.
And then, bam.
Yeah. It was seriously, like, a really fast, like, adrenaline just was, fuck. So, like, why did I think that? Because, like, my boyfriend's like, you're gonna win, I'm like, no, so I'm like, don't, please don't tell me that, because, like, the whole time I'd be like, I don't want to be snobby and be like, yeah, I'm totally gonna win, I'm not even gonna try. The whole time I'm like, okay, I gotta do this. So I'm like, pour more blood on me. Like, we kept pouring more blood. Like, there's never enough blood. Yeah, like, even my friend.
You're like looking like Carrie, and you're
like. Actually, that was one of my favorite Halloween costumes when I was a kid.
Carrie?
Yeah. You can tell if I was Carrie at like 10 years old, there's something wrong.
I named my son Gage. Okay. From The Little Kid from Pet Sematary.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Like, I think I like Carrie. I thought she was cool. She was empowering.
Mm-hmm.
From being the one that got picked on and stuff, and at the very end of the movie, she just totally killed everyone. I'm like, I gotta be for Halloween. So we got a Barbie prom dress. Tore out the Barbie thing. Tore everything all up and, like, gave me the little fake prom thing and a little crown. Got me a blonde wig. You know, it's all cheesy. And someone just stood up in front of me and just poured blood everywhere. And it was my birthday party because my birthday's right before the zombie thing. And I asked everyone, like, don't get me anything, just help me out the zombie thing and go to my event. That's all I want for my birthday. For the past 2 years I'm doing that. So, like, we do that, and when I think about that, I'm like, that's probably where it started. It probably started, like, back there.
In her carry.
Yeah. I'm like, so, that's pretty, like, yeah.
What was the, before the show started, what was backstage like?
Oh, gosh.
What was the vibe like?
You're scared.
Really?
Like, if you come there early, like, usually come there early because we want to make sure the makeup's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're all, like, freaking out. Like, we put a lot of little details this year into it. Like, the back spine and everything, the little details. Like, the fingernails and stuff like that. And you think you have all the time, and it goes really slow at first after the first practices, and, like, people aren't showing up yet. And this year we're like, how many people are in this? We're like, did we meet any of these people yet?
Right.
Like, the whole thing, we're going like that. And some people leave, some people come back, and we're just waiting. My friend went to go, like, get a towel for the thing because we didn't want to be pouring blood everywhere in this, like, special area. And we were waiting, and it got really slow. And suddenly, time started going faster. And I'm like, oh, crap. And, like, people were starting to come. Like, oh, crap, we can't even be outside in this area anymore.
Right.
We can't drive around in our makeup. We can't go out to eat without someone actually wanting, like, okay, I'll be right back and I'll bring my gun. This moment's been coming on for so long. You know. You can't walk around downtown like that. And you're waiting, and it goes faster and faster. And before you know it, like, you guys are like, come on up. We're scared. Being like, oh god, we're so nervous. And after the first, like, intro and that, you come back, then you feel awesome. Then you're like, I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to do that. But, like, the whole time you're like, you're waiting for your number to call. You're just like this. And, like, as soon as you're done, you run back and you put on whatever as fast as you can. The room's crowded with people. People coming in, people coming out. You know, it's really great. And you don't want to bump into anyone.
Right.
You're also, like, trying to have little conversations here and there. And pretty much get to know everyone while you're doing that. And the thing is, everyone wanted to see. We couldn't see the whole event. We only saw, like, our portion. And I was like, I wonder what they're doing. Are they doing a good job? Like, do they need, like, more part? Like, the whole time we're like, did they do good? You're asking, like, the guards. And like, yeah, we did awesome. And the crowd's like, they're loving it. And we're over here back here in the little creepy alleyway just like, it's cold. Can't see. So pretty much it's a big rush until the end and just stop.
Was it worse being, because Okay, for those of you that don't know and didn't come to the show, first off, shame on you. Second, last year we had less contestants. We only had 6 contestants last year. This year we had 11. So because of that, the dressing area had to change. Originally, the girls were getting dressed inside the theater. This year, they were getting dressed in the storage room outside. So, with the what was different other than location of getting dressed outside as opposed to inside?
Everyone's running around the second time around. The first time around is kind of cool, but I think last year, the first year is more stressful because you can see everyone what they're doing. You're like, oh man, they're doing awesome because there's that little glass thing right there. Like, they're doing awesome. They're like, I gotta step it up more. And then like, everyone's watching you. Like, you can tell them. You can't see them, but they see you.
Right? Actually, they can see you.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the light inside.
Oh, yeah.
We just tell that to people so
no,
we can watch you undress.
No, ew. No. Oh yeah, I forgot we had to turn off the light, so we're all peeping through like, oh, what are they doing? Oh, how are they doing it? Are they getting good? Like, I like their outfit. And just a bunch of stuff over here. We're just like, what the fuck's going on? Who's up right now? What are people doing? Like, are they having fun? Are they like bored? Are they like happy? Just stuff like that. But it was more chaotic this year, but it was more mystery.
Did you like that?
Huh? I did. But I also didn't, because I like looking at everyone else's, like, talents and stuff. I'm like, I was like, I wonder what they're doing. I'm like, are they doing awesome? I'm like, is my idea stupid?
Right.
Or should I up it more? Because sometimes, the first year, we tried, like, upping more. Like, you tried doing
You were one-upping everybody?
Not, like, upping, but just, like, okay, like, they like this. Let's do more of this.
Right.
Kind of like that, if that makes sense. Like, they like this. They like interacting more, so try to remember that. So you don't want to just them look at you and walk away.
Right.
You want the crowd to go wild. You want them to be crazy and scared.
When the girls were coming off stage, were they giving you their reactions or how the crowd was reacting to them?
It's cool because they come in, you're like, oh, you did good, you did awesome. We're like, you're going to win. No, you're going to win. No, you're going to win. It's like one of those things. This year, it was like, you couldn't see anyone what they were doing. It was just like, everyone's freaking out. In line, it's like...
Now you're making me feel bad.
I like that. It's cool, but that's why, like, everyone's like, I hope someone recorded this. Like, we can't wait to see it.
Right.
Pretty much, like, they want to see how they did on stage, too.
Right.
I want to see what I actually did on stage.
Yeah, I think I'm getting it Friday.
Okay. Like, I didn't even know what
I did.
But
you're not going to see it. I'm not going to show anybody.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Besides, like, the pictures, then you think about it, like, what was I doing that moment?
Right.
So that's what's really cool about seeing those. Especially, like, as soon as you get home, you see pictures already, like, whoa.
Yeah, that was a trip. As soon as we got home, I'm like...
this,
and the newspaper article was already up.
Yeah, and I'm like,
holy crap, this guy must have been typing it while he was there. What the heck?
Typing like this, taking pictures, drinking, like, that's what it seemed like. I was like, whoa, like, it hit up really fast. And like the first couple days after, you were still reliving those moments because you saw all those pictures and stuff. And it's nice. And now when I see these couple, I'm like, oh, wow, really? I'm like, think back to that. You have more time to like evaluate
process
everything.
It and everything,
yeah.
Yeah. That Monday, Sean and I were driving around going, ah, shit, we still got Halloween.
Yeah, that's what sucks. Like, that was my Halloween.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
that was my big event. I'm good. I'm done.
And, like, everyone's like, oh, this is Wednesday. I'm like, Halloween's an effing Wednesday this year. What the fuck am I going to do? I have school Wednesday. The only time I have school, it's on a Wednesday. On Halloween. My favorite time of year. Like, on my birthday. And I'm like, I'm going to school. I'm like, fuck it. Halloween day. And like, okay. I go home and come home. And I'm like, Halloween's set because I get calling a pedophile for my Halloween costume from little kids around my neighborhood. And I'm like,
Now that brings me to my next question. You actually do cosplay outside of this, right?
Yes. Or I try. I'm still getting into it. Like, I go to conventions, but dressing up more. Every year I think I do better with my cosplays.
And last year at WonderCon, you were very blue.
I was Marceline from Adventure Time.
I don't watch Adventure Time myself.
Oh, you should. But she's a vampire, like, queen thing.
Well, what got you into the whole cosplaying thing, other than being Carrie?
Actually, like, in middle school, my friend that I'm still friends with, the one that comes to my events and everything, all my friends from elementary school left, like, as soon as middle school happened, or I wasn't cool enough anymore, because they were all growing up, and I still wanted to, like cartoons and stuff.
Right.
And more, she got me into anime and stuff like that, and comic books, and I liked about these people that I was around, they stayed, like, they still had, I felt like they had their child heart. They matured, but they still were
still
down to
deep inside, yeah.
Yeah, like, if that makes sense, I don't know how to word that. I'm not really good at my words, but kind of like that. Like, I didn't have to impress any of that group of friends. Like, I can be the most annoying, bitchy, dorky person in the world, and, like, after, like, my little phases I go through, I can still come back to these people and, like, have somewhat of a, like, still have friends there. Besides all my other friends, like, weird. It's a weird thing, but I like the closeness we had together, and that's what brought us together. And we first started going. My first convention was in 8th grade, and oh god, that was the worst costume idea ever. I was just, I'll be a schoolgirl, like Japanese stuff. Yeah,
wrong.
So very, very wrong.
Old guys like me chasing after you.
Yeah, I found out like that the hard way, and I was like, oh man, like I'm a high. I was like my third convention, I was like, why did I do that? And I see like these girls coming in, and I'm like, please don't copy yourself for the love of God. Or do
take
it
her
right.
Trench coat. Here's a Holocaust quote.
That guy's taking your picture for me.
Right.
So like it
it's
was
gonna
fun.
End up on the wrong website, I swear.
I'm gonna be on like worstcosplays.com and I'm all posing like confidence, like yeah, I like my costume. So hopefully I never find those pictures. But conventions, I think, are the nicest people I've ever met.
Really?
The people themselves, and like going to each booth. There's people that they work their they're working and working to make all these custom stuff that you can never see, like jewelry, you know, phones, cosplays, dresses, and import things, and all these like things from my childhood from there up to high school I can actually buy in person, and I can actually see my favorite characters out and about. So at first it was anime conventions, and I went to comic conventions, like WonderCon was my first. Like,
this past WonderCon was your first big one? Really?
Yeah. Like, so that's what I'm saying, like I would love to go to San Diego Comic Con and a bunch of these other ones, and like the little one you had here, I always try to invite people, I'm like, good luck, because they're always talking about how Redlands doesn't have anything cool, and I'm like,
right.
This guy throws this stuff and it's really cool, and my friends that do kind of these things are like, we need to go to these more, and people that don't know it yet until they actually get into it are missing out, but the conventions and stuff, I love the atmosphere pretty much
right.
of it, and like I said, I love seeing my cartoon characters come to life, and my favorite superheroes just walking by me, like someone was born looking just like my favorite superhero I grew up with, just walking around like nothing, and I'm looking at you guys like they're celebrities,
right.
And to the actual celebrities at the convention I never actually go see, so.
Have you ever gone around to a convention not in costume?
Nope.
Totally different attitude.
I love, because I love, like I said, I love Halloween, because I used to dress up just on Halloween, until I found out what conventions were, and I was younger, and that's what I'm saying. Everyone grew up with like, oh, we're too old to dress up. We're
right.
too old to do this. So it's immature. And I'm like, really? Okay. Like, okay. But at these conventions I go to, they're more fun and they're more open-minded and everything about it. And I was just, I like that. And I like dressing up. I like putting all my work into that. So that's, I save up my money and I try, you know, getting characters. Cause especially when little kids come up to you. Because they're still little and they see their favorite.
Little kids make everything worth it.
Yeah, especially. Like, this little... Little Finn came up to me going like, Marceline, I'm like, can I take a picture with you? They're like 6, and I'm just like in love. I'm like, of course you can. Like, you can play my bass too, and you can touch my hair. I'm like being creepy, and I ended up afterwards kind of creepy. The dad's right there.
You can touch me.
Like, yeah, I can give you a hug and that. And he's all posing, and I'm like, I hope my kids turn out this awesome. I hope my, like, I have cousins. Like, I'm trying to bring it into them. Their mom's like, no, this is taboo. Close your ears. Go usher. You sure like the rest of these little kids do. Like, people in my family, so like, I think some people in my family think I'm the weird one for liking this stuff. But like,
you're
it's not
outsider.
Real music if it's a different language. I'm
right.
like, wait, what? Wait, what? Or like, oh, nice costume. It's not Halloween. It's the middle of July. And I'm like, thanks. Walking around with a big axe, like, gotta go. Or like going to like McDonald's and stuff in costumes. Like, it's funny. It's awkward, but I love it. Just like, I have a cheeseburger. Like, what are you? Especially like my no-face costumes like that.
Rosie was talking about how during the first comic expo, her and Lynn got dressed up like we're like zombies at the
mm-hmm.
convention, and they went to Comic Quest, they went to Danny's, they walked up and down State Street, and the reactions, everyone was like, freaking out.
Way.
Right.
Is this the apocalypse?
It's February.
was there a car crash? That's what we wanted to do. I wanted, like, after the event, because like my phone's actually broken, like. Not like my toe, actually. But like, I should just run into like a random like bar, go open and like have my guts down, and be like, oh god, I just came out of a car. Like, someone help, please. My like, someone's in there. But I'd be the most traumatizing thing ever. But I want to do that, but I don't have the heart to at the same time.
It'd probably be a bad idea considering the shooting that happened at Charlie's.
Yeah,
Rules,
I don't. That's what I thought about. I thought like when we did the comic thing, the little Inland Empire, and we were walking around for a bit, I was scared some dude was gonna come driving around, see it, like the dude that's been waiting for the apocalypse for the past like 10 years.
He pulls out his gun, he's
yeah,
like,
he's been loaded the whole time, or like goes home and comes back like, I'm waiting for this moment, no one believes me, and just actually kill
all
like
vindicated.
actually kill people down on State Street, and everyone was just like, oh, these aren't zombies.
Right. There was a comic expo going on.
you didn't read that in the paper. Like, I don't, that'd be the saddest thing ever. That's what I'm afraid of doing, like, flash mob zombies. Like, I don't want you to do something like that, at the same time I don't. So that guy's gonna come around, I have the worst luck with planning things. So I can see that happening. Yeah, like, what's going to happen? Everyone's birthdays that week, like, where do these birthdays come from? Or no one has the money that time, just a bunch of stuff. So I can see that happening if I ever do this outside of these events.
So then I'll just keep throwing these events for you.
On the news, like, fake zombies dead, psychopath goes to prison. I mean,
you should totally run into a hospital.
My baby! Oh, God! I dropped! I don't know what happened! Top down! Oh, gosh, that'd be funny. Like, I'd love to, but I don't have the guts to.
Well, all right then. Thank you for joining us. So we're gonna see you around more, yeah?
Yeah.
Did we get a little sneak peek as to what your costume's gonna be like next year?
I am thinking classic Evil Dead references. So hopefully going with that a little more. Stephen King movies. I don't know. I'm thinking stuff like that. Some Walking Dead references for my brother, so hopefully he will come next year. The show
will be canceled by then.
Hopefully he comes. Not hopefully the show's canceled. And I'm pretty much going to bring a bunch of movie references my grandma loved. If not, the newer video games coming out. You know, I liked Dead Space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be more movie-like. That's what I'm hoping for. More realistic and more goofy when it comes to other things.
You're going to try and have more fun with it?
Yeah.
Do you think that's the secret?
I think that's what it is. Like, besides last-minute planning, which you shouldn't do, which I'm actually really good at, like, just that, and pretty much I just want the crowd to be able to experience things and see things that they can't see outside of a theater or at, like, haunts.
Right.
Because haunts, like, they have a limit. Sometimes they're just, like, masks and stuff. Like, I want to make sure, like, you can feel this. Like, I was telling people, yeah, you can touch my back spine if you want. Like, bending over, like, hey, here you go. So something, like, they can actually see. Something that they can go home and be like, you can't ever see this ever again. Like, this is a one-time thing. That's, like, more and more, but something they, a personal, individual, like, memory, if that makes sense.
You want to hit home.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. A couple things I just thought of real quick. One, what did you think of the ZKS guys? Like, they were more organized and more uniform this year.
Yeah.
What did you think about them?
I thought they were cool. I seemed like everyone had their, besides, like, the uniforms were, it's harder to tell people apart, but they had their own personality to it. They were really helpful. I liked how they were also in their own character. I think they were more themselves on this year.
Right.
I feel like they actually put themselves in their place if these were actual zombies, but afterwards, like, when no one's looking, you have more fun, and you're like, oh, they actually are.
They were, like, all of them were bruised, battered, had blood all over them. They were like, those girls were mean. They flat out told me, AJ, those girls were mean. They kicked our ass.
I hope that wasn't me. I was asking for help because I couldn't, I felt like just like, help, I need help, like a fish out of water. So I was trying not to abuse the people that were helping me walk, but next year, I'll probably be more aggressive.
And then last year, we had you guys, during the voting, we had you guys on the floor, but kind of free reign. This year, we put more organization, had you around the stage. How did you feel about that?
I felt it was a little more restricted, because I wanted to come out and just, like, touch people on the shoulder and stuff. Like, the first year around, you could see everyone. This year, I couldn't see, but, like, in general, like, you can go up to the character. And that's why I try putting more little details in too, so like they can go up and look and be like, oh, would you look at that? Like,
right.
Her back's all falling apart and like her face is all messed up, just like pretty much more of a look. Like how much effort they actually put into their character and stuff, but everyone this year put up.
So you felt like you weren't able to
show
off?
In a way we kind of did, like I was trying to turn a little more, but at the same time, since there's more people, it's more crowded.
Right.
Like both crowd wise and
you guys got slammed. I don't know if you were able to see it from where you were. I couldn't even see you from where I was. The entire audience was up over there.
Saying, like if it was like if we had more room, that's what I think it was. Since there's more people this year and there was more contestants this year, it felt a little more like squished compared to last year's more freely, like you can actually look. And that's what I liked about last year, but same thing, you had to think about there's more people.
Right.
More
like a Catch-22. You had more freedom and more maneuverability last year, but this year we had more bodies in the door.
Yeah.
So it was better.
Especially
for
like some, I see some people like standing by and others. Some people couldn't even get pictures and stuff. So that's what I didn't like. But at the same time, you had to think about that.
Right.
But hopefully, like.
And the same at the end of the night when you guys were on the stairs taking pictures and
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. There was still like some of my friends like wanted to come up and there's a bunch of people like, okay, we'll wait till later. Okay, we'll wait till later.
Right.
Till like midnight. Like, okay, now we can talk to you.
I was in line to get up to the. I, who ran the event,
you
was in line to get out to see you guys in the steps. Last year, I was able to be out there with
just
you.
Just run up like, hey, guys. Like, there's like,
I'm all jumping with me. No,
felt,
it's me. No.
I felt weird. I'm like, I'm not anybody. Why is there a big-ass group, like, right in front of here? And I'm like, the very next day, I'm like, where's everyone? Where's the cameras? So I'm like, out eating
I had friends last night.
I had people actually wanted to talk to me last night. I'm over here like, hey, guys, on Facebook, what's going on? Anyone want to go out? Nope.
No, we want to talk to you.
Negative celebrity. Likes. Facebook tells me to delete my profile. Like, yeah, you should go.
Like, oh, it's you.
Oh, God. That's what I'm thinking. But other than that, like, just I would like a teeny bit more freedom to interaction. Just because, like, it'd be fun to be chasing people.
Right.
But, like, more the little kids I wanted to be, like, up to. Because last year what I liked a lot is some mom brought her, this little girl to me. And she was small. And she comes up and she looks really happy and like that's when my whole mouth was out, so I like, you know, put my mask down, took a picture with her. Like I had a scarf, I think this is it actually from last year, and I wrapped it around her and like it was just really cool because as I said, little kids do make it better.
Right.
Especially like you're like, oh, you're the most awesome kid. Like I'm curious about you.
Right.
In fact, you're even here, so that's what I like. I don't know. She had like blonde hair or something. Little tiny kid, like I don't know, little, but I like that. Just coming up there, like hopefully this year, if she was there, or if had a bunch of little kids there, like hopefully they were able to get some like
right.
something you know, out of it, besides on the stairs, but a little more interaction.
Like, well, you know that just means that they'll come back next year to find you, and the year after that.
They're older.
And like, so you die for real, and we just have your body hanging.
Oh gosh!
From you.
Like, oh gosh!
In honor of Pauline.
This is her real blood. This is real.
After the show was over, and you guys found that Jasmine had won, were you guys? Was there any resentment?
I don't know people enough to be like, I didn't know her enough. Like, of course, like, my family and my friends were like, oh, you should have won, oh, this, you know.
Right.
Everyone's family said that. That's what it kind of was. And some people were like, oh, no, like, wait, you were so close. What happened? What did you do not wrong?
Right.
As much, I don't know what I did wrong, but I just hope, like, she becomes, like, closer, goes to your guys' events and stuff. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what one of my goals was. Like, I want to be there for you guys. And, like, I can't just do the rides and stuff. That's why I'm, like, this one time a year.
Right.
But I just hope, like, they do what I want to do.
Right.
I just don't let it go to waste. Like, don't. Please show up.
Use the opportunity.
Yeah, please use the opportunity. I love Comic-Con, WonderCon, all these other things. Like, I don't even know Comic-Con. I want to go. Like, I hate, like, every one of my friends like, I'm here, I want Comic-Con, doing this. And I'm like, I'm here at home, and you don't even like that stuff. You're there to see Robert Downey Jr. And I'm like,
right.
All my favorite cartoonists are right there just waiting for me to hug them. So I just, like, just take advantage of the fact that you got all this stuff. And
right.
I'm like, over here, like, woo!
So there is a goal to winning. There isn't, like,
that's, yeah, like, besides, like, the whole event itself is a prize itself at the end. And so, like, I see people getting friendship stuff out of it. Like I said, I got cool pictures out of it.
Right.
I got a really fun experience with my friend out of it. Like, you know, some awkward moments when she tried helping me change and, like, a couple other things. But, like, with her, not the fact that she even goes out of her way. Like, I can't pay her. That's something. One year, when I do win,
right.
That's going to be your money.
Right.
I can pay you back because it's kind of expensive. But just like that. That makes sense. Like,
so
if for everyone else, the convention, like, my only thing, like, yes, finally, two.
So if the convention tickets were off the table, you wouldn't enter?
No, I would. But I'm saying, like, it was not, that's a personal side goal, a bunch of little goals, but the fact that some of my goals are kind of lined up together is kind of
right.
fun. Like, this year, like, I want to have a crown. I never wore a crown. I'm saying, like, a bunch of people were, like, models and stuff, and I'm like, oh, man, like, I take my own pictures, like, my camera and
right.
stuff, and I can't do any of this stuff. Like, this is the only time of year I get confidence in my life. I'm, like, that bad, but I'm saying, like, I actually feel awesome, like, my own skin, because this is who I really am. Like, not saying I'm a zombie, but I'm saying, like, this is my craziness that I want people to show. Like,
right.
I can actually be
a
really fun, cool person this time of year.
This time of year.
It'd be nice to get a crown for that. You know.
We'll make you a little crown.
A tiny little one.
Well, thank you for doing the interview, and thank you for entering in the pageants.
Thank you.
That was Pauline. We'll go ahead and go back to the show now and let her be shy again. And we're back, and that was our interview with Pauline Vallardi. All right, so we're going to go and take a quick break, and when we come back, Martin's got some bad things to say about your mom.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
And we are back. I seem to be bringing this back from every single break.
I know. You.
Why aren't you doing your job, Martin? Jesus Christ.
I think there's something, some kind of phallic...
It's your mustache. It really, really does fit
you.
It scares the microphone.
Do you want me to move?
No, please don't.
You're protecting me.
You're the mustache buffer at this point. So we wanted to come back and talk about Image Comics. In recent weeks and months, Image is very famous for what they call pilot season. And that's when they send out maybe 5 or 6 number one issues to test the waters on some upcoming comic books that they're debating picking up and running full steam with. Well, lately it seems like pilot season has taken off and become like pilot universe, where they've been releasing a whole slew of number ones. Martin, have you had a chance to read any of these?
I haven't read any of the new stuff. I was part of the pilot season last year, and became a huge Image Comics fan because of it, and was reading several books that they brought out. Green Lake, Wake at Green Lake, and the Sack Boy, what's it called, Little Depressed Boy, seeing books like that by Stephen Grayson and stuff that were amazing, and started following Image Comics really closely, and I'm into those books now, and so I haven't stepped out to see what their new stuff was. But it is, when you go to the comic book shelves, it's Image Comics number one.
Yeah, it's all over the place, and it's getting kind of ridiculous. I mean, every week, it feels like they're coming out with 6 new comic books, new titles that they're releasing. And honestly, at this point, I'm beginning to wonder, like, if they're trying to do, like, what Marvel Comics did in 1991, in the 1990s, where they flooded the market full of comic books and different variants and whatnot, and became bankrupt. And then in 2000, had to become picked up by Time Warner and Disney in order to gain their money back and ease their financial burden. Someone named Image Comics is kind of doing the same by flooding the market with all these number ones, spending all their money out there, and then becoming bankrupt so that they can be saved by a big conglomerate, and thus no longer having to burden the financial issues themselves. That may be what they're trying to do. Because, I mean, it even I, being the head of Forbidden Panel, was wondering, like, whoa, when's Disney going to pick us up, you know?
Yeah.
And with Disney picking up Marvel, and then Warner Brothers running DC, you got to wonder if Image Comics is having the same opinion. Maybe they want to be saved by a big conglomerate company and are thus flooding the market with all these comic books so that they can go bankrupt and claim bankruptcy in order to get some sort of financial relief.
Well, you know, to build on that, actually, that's a very good theory. The Hollywood side of it as well. You know, Chew from Image Comics has now gone on to TV series. Walking Dead is obviously a huge success. They've worked on Lock and Key as a TV series, but now it's going to the movie.
Lock and Key is IDW.
Oh, I'm sorry, IDW, yeah. But, you know, you see these stories that are going into studios and maybe not getting published or produced as fast as possible, and maybe something like a big investor behind them would push these things, would help them lift up and bring in additional revenue, that would then also help some comic books as well. And, I mean, look at Walking Dead. Became a TV show. Half the big fans are not comic book readers, but a lot of them do go back and buy covers and buy the books and the materials, the retail.
Now the problem with that, though, is there's a lot of good comics that they're releasing in these fluid number ones, and if they do end up going bankrupt and getting picked up by somebody else, what's going to happen to these storylines? They're just going to get tossed on the wayside, and whoever is, you know, whatever company picks them up is going to go, hey, let's just go with the favorites. What's making money? Invincible, Walking Dead, you know, books like that. And so these other good books are going to get tossed away.
You've schooled me a lot on Image Comics, talking about their history and what they were established. Could you expand on that a little bit real quick?
Image Comic Books was actually established by Eric Larson, Todd McFarlane, Rob Liefeld.
I know.
A few others that used to work for Marvel and just got tired of all the bullshit that Marvel was doing, you know, the company stuff, and decided to branch off and make their own comic books. Savage Dragon, Spawn being the one, the penultimate launch, the reason behind the success of the company. And they decided to branch out and create this company. Now,
they tried to keep it in a manner where they're called creator-owned comic books, where, you know, the creators still own the rights and properties to these titles, however Image has become the publisher, much like Forbidden Panel has, except that, you know, they tell the creators, you have a quota that you have to reach. You need to make us this much money, and if you don't, you're gone. So that's why you see a lot of titles just randomly disappearing all the time, because they're just not making that quota. The comic book stores are not making that demand on Diamond anymore, and thus losing money for Image. So,
yeah, so books like that. So you have this idea that seems like it was bringing in people who had an idea that maybe Marvel or DC Comics wouldn't buy it. Image Comics says, well, here's your chance. Let's do this. And they bring a book out, and it does really well. Chew's now going into Volume 5. It was a little known book for a while there, kind of like Walking Dead was until the TV show popped up. But Chew got a big following a couple years ago, started to pick up and grow, and they started pushing it at conventions everywhere. It got panels, things like that. And now we see Layton, who's over at DC, and I believe he's even helping on a Marvel book now.
Layton's writing Batman, actually.
Yeah, and so, I mean, like, he's gone on to bigger things, as well as still doing Chew. So we have these shows that are these books that are getting picked up and getting more attention, but are they going to disappear as well? You know, what happens to that small publisher kind of feel, you know? Like, Image Comics,
right,
to me, always felt like it was still the small publisher. It wasn't somebody who was out there to get that commercial.
It always felt like that until the 1 year of Comic-Con, when they were no longer the small publisher. They have a bigger space than Marvel and DC does. They have more, to their credit, they have more artists and creators and writers actually at the booth at any given time. Not as many fans walking up to them, granted, but still, they have one of the bigger booths out there. So, to me, they don't feel like the small time anymore. They feel big time.
Right. Well, I mean, anytime Robert Kirkman agrees to appear at the booth, the lines around that booth are ridiculous.
Right.
And then, but to go forward with that idea that they're putting on all these number one issues, DC Comics did it last September. Marvel's doing it now. Image seems to be doing, not necessarily a relaunch, but they're flooding with a lot of number one books, too,
right,
new books. And to me, it seems like it's just a desperate attempt, like you're saying. Let's just get a bunch of our name out there, let's do this, let's put a bunch of stuff out there. But in the end, it is going to cost them a lot of money. And of these books, Happy was one you and I talked about a couple episodes ago,
right,
that was actually, it wasn't bad. But it's only in it's going into its third issue this coming month, and
didn't they get a TV show or something?
Yeah, and it's got
movie
picked up, the rights got picked up, and they're working on an idea for a show for it, which still don't understand how that blue unicorn's going to do that.
Right.
It's one of those things where they're only three books in. I'm still not sold on the book.
Right.
And then to bring out four other books, you want me to try and read two when I'm trying to get into this one that you just have out? It's confusing. It's the same thing with Marvel now to me. I can't get into any of these books, not to mention they're terrible, but that it's just hard to follow when you have a whole bunch of number one books coming out. DC's New 52 last September, I bought every single book, every single number one they did, and tried to read it and keep up for 3 months on each of those books to pick which ones I was going to follow. I'm down to maybe 10, 12 books in that whole, of all their 60 books that they have out.
All of our Christmas has suffered because of it, because Martin has no money and cannot buy us any pretty presents anymore.
I'm trying to support our industry. I want us to succeed somewhere. But it's just one of those things where there's so much going on. Why would they keep doing this? I feel like it's going to hurt them in the long run. It's not going to help them, even if some conglomerate comes in. The books that I do like you said, are going to be the ones that get pushed by the wayside.
Right.
Devil the Press Boy is not a huge known book. It should be. It should be much bigger for what it is. Go check out Little Depressed Boy.
It reflects Martin's soul.
No, but it's the story of a ragdoll kid who's a music fan, and Struble comes in and writes it with the idea that there's going to be actual bands. He knows no-name bands, not famous bands, that he brings into it. There's music involved in the book, and there's soundtracks that you can listen to along with these books, each issue. It's really cool. And it's just a cool concept, and it's something to me that seems DC and Marvel would never put that much effort into a book. Image Comics, the reason I became a fan of them, because they put that much effort into it. Chew, when I was talking to Layman about the book when I first started reading it, and he talked me into getting every single volume that was out already so I could catch up, and just the detail that was in the story, the background, the idea. He did a 1 year later, last April, that showed us what was going to happen this past April. It was so cool, and it was just, he did these little tricks, and they put a lot of effort into their design, and bringing in current events, but at the same time still being funny at a very gross story, idea behind the powers there. And so it's cool, the effort that they put into it, and I'm afraid that's what Image is going to lose.
Right.
I don't want that effort.
I'm afraid Image is going to lose. The one thing that Image has above everybody else is that they're creator-owned comics, and these books have creator-owned influence over them. They're not You know, it's not like we're being hired to go write Batman, which means we've got decades of story and fans and canon which we have to follow. No, this is all original shit, and it's all creator input. It's not Image going, no, it's, you know, original, and that's what I like about all the books that are coming out. Some of them successes, some of them crap, but I give them credit because they have the balls to try it. Well, we lose that individuality when they go, if this is what they're trying to do, go bankrupt so they can get picked up and get financial help. Who knows?
And so, there's already people ready to replace Image Comics too. Last year I was a big Image Comics fan and I got into a lot of the books that they did. This year, Boom Studios has been one that I've really gotten into. Last year they brought out a few books that were Stan Lee driven.
They put his name on it.
Which are all gone, done and gone. Mark Waid was even a part of one of them, which wasn't bad. But it's one of those things where they brought out those books, they weren't great. Image was getting my attention more so now. This year they're bringing out other stories that are really cool, and I read some of their other stories thanks to you, Irredeemable and Incorruptible. There was a lot of books in those stories, but to go back and to read that, and then but their name got pushed because Stan Lee wrote those, put their his name on those two books. He didn't write them.
Right.
He played
the characters.
Yeah, but it wasn't him doing it. But his name was on it, so they got a lot of attention. They have a contract with Disney. They do a lot of the Disney Kids books, which are not bad either.
Kaboom.
Yeah,
and Peanuts books.
They do these characters that remember from kids, and they're bringing kids into those books as well. They're picking up a lot of that space, and I don't see a lot of Hollywood deals coming out. I don't see them putting out 15 new books every other month, things like that. They get stories, and they get them going for a while. They run them. Starborn, Traveler, those, they ran 12 issues. They got trade paperbacks, but they stopped.
Right.
You know, Fanboys vs. Zombies is one of their big ones that's going right now, which is a really cool book and fun for comic book fans to go and read. And, you know, it's going and it's gone around. It's got 12 issues ready to come out. And they're going to keep going. And that one's building up and continuing to go. When you first read that story, you didn't think it would go past 6 issues. And they do a lot of mini-series, which we talk about a lot on the show here. Is, you know, these small books where there's only 6 issues in it and then it's done. The story's done. That's really cool. I think Boom and places like that, they're picking it up, but they still don't have what Image has, with the power that Image has, I think.
Right.
I think Image has just these ideas, this intelligence behind it, that they put these stories out there, and people really, they buy into it. You know, I can buy Boom trade paperbacks and go catch up on them. I don't have to go issue to issue. I want to read Happy month to month.
Right.
I want to go buy that issue month to month. Image brings that, and you know, they, people who haven't read Happy, sorry, spoiler here, but there's that blue fucking unicorn at the end of that first issue, and I, for the life of me, had to live 30 days before I got that second issue to find out what the hell and where the hell did that come from and how does that come into this story. And it was really cool to see and to have that feeling and to want to keep doing that. Walking Dead, there are a lot of those issues even now that after the 100th issue where I'm okay, I want to see what happens next. Come on.
And that's what sucks about The Walking Dead is that the individual issues seem so short.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go through all the story and dialogue and drama, and then, like, you know, you're all into it, you're ready to go, you're like, all right, fucker, let's do this. Oh, letter hex. I'll wait till next one.
Yeah, and, you know, they draw you in, they get you really into it. Marvel Now, you know, I'm not feeling that Marvel Now. DC Comics, the Batman story right now, the death in the family with the Joker, yeah, I am reading that month to month, and I am salivating for the next issue every month. But that's really the only books. Happy, I want to find out what happens. Chew, I'm following along really close right now. I'm not following Spawn so much anymore, but I mean, Spawn even has a story that's still going. It's 200 issues in. Walking Dead's over 100 issues in. They have books that are established and are well, that still have effort, that still have people bought into them. And they're not the people who just watch the TV show. These are old school fans who've been reading some of these books for a long time. So I think your theory is pretty adequate, and I'm afraid that it's going to be true. I'm really hoping not.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, if my theory is wrong, Image Comics, you know, here's your chance. Give me a holler, let us know if it's true or not, because I really don't want to see that go. I mean, what's sad is we have friends that work there, you know, David Mack, Daniel Corey, you know, it's just, so we'd hate to see anything bad happen with that. Speaking of which, I did pick up a couple of the new number ones this week, and I read two of them, and one of them, I think, has me hooked for life, and it's called Bedlam, and it's really fucked up, and don't ask me what it's about, because it felt like 56 pages of drama when it was really maybe 20, but it was so in-depth and so going on, it just has me. And the other one is Colder. Colder was really good. I really dug it. I still don't know what it's about yet because it hasn't really got there, but
I'm anxious to see what happens when it does get there. I'm still going to read all the other ones and have a chance to review it and talk about it at a later show, but for now, if you have a chance, read Bedlam, at least, because it'll change your mind about a couple things. So I really dig it.
That's cool. That kind of draws.
Yeah,
I
don't want to see it go anywhere. Yeah, I want to see it continue on and be in. Though I don't think anything like Disney or Warner Brothers would ever pick up a series like this, because I mean it's all about a fucking serial killer. But still, I'd like to see it go somewhere. And if it doesn't, then I'll be sad. Fuck the Image.
Yeah. So
fuck you, breaking my heart.
Another thing that just touched on real quick with Image, they celebrated 20 years
last
year. Huge convention they hosted, sold out this place, had it back at their roots, and they, you know, pushed all these books out. I was really hoping that year 21 was going to...
And maybe it does. Maybe they held that convention, made so much fucking money there, that they're able to afford to put out all these other creator-owned comic books. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe that's why we're getting a flood of them. Maybe at ImageCon last year, everybody walked up with their stories and said, please sign us up, give me a contract, I want to be here next year, and that's what happened. I could be completely wrong, but we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch it real closely next week.
Right. So with that, why don't we go ahead and say goodbye to episode 107.
Bye.
Thank you, Martin.
Adios.
And what was your name again?
Vanessa.
Vanessa, that's right. Vanessa of Blackford Bows. Yes. Vanessa, why don't you go ahead and plug yourself real quick?
Oh, you can see me at blackbirdbows.com. Check out the Facebook and like my page and see all the new creations.
What's Blackbird Bows about?
Different exciting new creations done by me.
Bows?
Hair bows.
Do you make bows by any chance? Is that why you're called Blackbird Bows?
Rumor has it, I do make hair
bows. Rumor has it.
Yeah, they're not something, she's playing it down here. She does this whole humble thing, which I don't know why she does. She hangs out with us. You'd think we would have broken her of that by now. But it's...
We're just poking her shame, that's all.
She hand makes these things. I mean, some of this stuff, she makes the embellishments. And she has this heart she's molded in clay. It's just really cool and a lot of detail in it. It's something that you don't see everywhere. One of the things I think you say a lot, Vanessa, is talking about the cheap crap that's out there. The bottle cap bows that are just like... They look commercialized.
I hate bottle cap bows. That is a no. That is not okay. I made semi-finalists for Accessory of the Year, and I'm very proud, but I still have a lot of work to do, and that's where I'm at.
Again, these are hair bows that are handcrafted, they're individualized, there's no two alike, and they're all custom-made, custom to your order. So go check out our site, blackbirdbows.com, and it'll take you to the Facebook. You can see all our creations. They're completely awesome, otherwise I wouldn't be around her. Alright, so thank you everybody for tuning in, and we will catch you guys on the next episode.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.